ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 8, Chapter entitled The Churning of the Milk Ocean, Text number 16. Bhushanani Vichitrani Vishwakarma Prashanani Vichitrani Vishwakarma Prajapati Haram Saraswati Padmam Ajo Nagas Chakundale. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Vishwakarma, one of the Prajapatis, supplied the varieties of decorated ornaments. The goddess of learning Saraswati supplied a necklace. Lord Brahma supplied a lotus flower. And the inhabitants of Nagaloka supplied earrings. We'll read text 17 to 20. Thereafter, Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, having been properly celebrated with an auspicious ritualistic ceremony, began moving about, holding in her hand a garland of lotus flowers, which were surrounded by humming bumblebees. Smiling with shyness, her cheeks decorated by her earrings, she looked extremely beautiful. Purport: The goddess of fortune, Mother Lakshmiji, accepted the ocean of milk as her father, but she perpetually rests on the bosom of Narayan. She offers benedictions even to Lord Brahma and other living entities in this material world. Yet she is transcendental to all material qualities. Although she appeared to have been born of the ocean of milk, she immediately resorted to her eternal place on the bosom of Narayan. Her two breasts, which were symmetrical and nicely situated, were covered with sandalwood pulp and kumkum powder, and her waist was very thin. As she walked here and there, her ankle bells jingling softly, she appeared like a creeper of gold. Text 19, translation. While walking among the Gandharvas, Yakshas, Asuras, Siddhas, Charanas and the denizens of heaven, Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, was scrutinizingly examining them. But she could not find anyone naturally endowed with all good qualities. None of them was devoid of faults, and therefore she could not take shelter of any of them. Purport: The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, having been generated from the ocean of milk, was the daughter of the ocean. Thus she was allowed to select her own husband in a Swayamvara ceremony. She examined every one of the candidates, but she could not find anyone suitably qualified to be her shelter. In other words, Narayan, the natural husband of Lakshmi, cannot be superseded by anyone in this material world. Text 20, translation and purport. The goddess of fortune, examining the assembly, thought in this way: Someone who has undergone great austerity has not yet conquered anger. Someone possesses knowledge, but he has not conquered material desires. Someone is a very great personality, but he cannot conquer lusty desires. Even a great personality depends on something else. How then can he be the supreme controller? Purport: Here is an attempt to find a supreme controller or Ishwara. Everyone may be accepted as an Ishwara or controller, but still such controllers are controlled by others. For example, one may have undergone severe austerities, but still be under the control of anger. By a scrutinizing analysis, we find that everyone is controlled by something else. No one, therefore, can be the true controller but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. This is supported by the Shastras. Ishvara Parama Krishna. The Supreme Controller is Krishna. Krishna is never controlled by anyone, for He is the controller of everyone. Sarva Karana Karanam. Translation once again. Vishwakarma, one of the Prajapatis, supplied varieties of decorated ornaments. The goddess of learning, Saraswati, supplied a necklace. Lord Brahma supplied a lotus flower. And the inhabitants of Nagaloka supplied earrings. We find in this narration that Sri Shukdev Goswami is embarking upon and going into the details of the churning of the milk ocean is so full of variety. The ingredients that are being manifested out of the churning and there are horses, there are trees, there are elephants, there are cows, all of this thing being churned about. And the churning immediately brings upon distribution or division. Anything that is obtained in this material world is bound to divide, is bound to create a division, and also is bound to divide and perish. This is the nature that we find here in this world. We try hard to get something after long churning. Those things manifest. But the confusion arises, which one to gather first. And after that gathers, it soon becomes the object of envy for others. And then later, because of the materialistic tendencies, again, those accumulations becomes divided. And here we find Sri Shukdev Goswami is going to explain the various manifestations. But this time which is manifested is not an object, is not an ordinary manifestation. It is a manifestation of personally Sri, the goddess of wealth. In this world, one may do away with food, one may do away with sleep, but one cannot do away with the thoughts of wealth. In the initial years, there is too much obsession with the bodily attractions. And over a period of time, that wears off, the lust may wear off for some, till some time by old age, but the greed does not disappear. And therefore, this greed is only the cause of prolonging the material existence. This Krishna consciousness process is like churning our hearts. And as Srila Prabhupada said, when you churn the hearts, the anarthas will manifest. But this anarthas will look like valuable objects for possession and contemplation. That which is redundant becomes significant. And what is coming out to be significant slowly dies into insignificance. That is the nature of this Kali Yuga. The tendency by mass consensus is to vote the insignificant as the most valuable, and by mass consensus there is a propaganda to denounce that is the most significant. What is the most significant? The wealth of spiritual knowledge is denounced as insignificant. Therefore, we find here that Srila Shukdev Goswami is going to describe in detail the description of Goddess of Wealth. what happens when she appears. And here is the narration of Sri Shukdev Goswami that previously what came out was elephants was taken away by Lord Indra, and then Uccheshrava was possessed by Bali. Then there were some trees, Parijata trees. Now, demons did not take much interest in the tree. Right? Just like people outside, they say that you are eating vegetarian foodstuff, you are eating ghaspus. You are eating some trees, vegetables. So, they don't take much interest in those stuff. So, naturally that was taken by the desire fulfilling tree. And then the Kaustubha Mani was, again we signed it, everyone was claiming. It was like it was like immediately after some inheritance is being distributed amongst relatives, it's similar scene. Everyone is taking, this is my share, this is my share. But Lord Vishnu had already informed the demigods, do not claim or do not go into the fight for the claim. Be concerned for the essence. Sometimes we fight so much over externals that we forget the essence of that struggle. In the course of the struggle, the essence of the struggle is lost, and that what it brings is ultimate frustration. The demons got the most valuable things, but in the end, they were deprived of the nectar. Bhagavad Gita says, what is poison in the beginning becomes nectar in the end. And what seems to be like nectar in the beginning becomes poison in the end. And especially as practitioners of Krishna consciousness, we always feel that we are deprived. We are deprived of material ambition. Right? Once Srila Prabhupada was coming, was in a Los Angeles, garden of Los Angeles, and one of the disciples, parents of one of the disciples came and they met Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada, they started saying to one of the disciples that devotees have no ambition. And Srila Prabhupada said, in fact, the other disciple tried to convince the parents, actually they don't have material ambitions. And then he told Prabhupada, you see that they're saying that we don't have ambitions, but no, we have ambition, but we don't have material ambition. Prabhupada says, no, devotee has no ambition, not even spiritual. His ambition is simply to please Krishna. This was something radical. One of our devotees told us that currently there is a person, a very, very renowned person, is a vice chancellor of a very prestigious university. He must be quite old. He met Srila Prabhupada long back ago when he must be in his mid-30s or mid-40s. And he asked Srila Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, I don't believe in reincarnation. Guess what Prabhupada might have answered? You will become a dog in your next life. Now we may say that this person must be protagonist, antagonist against the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He must be ill feelings of enmity and feelings of disgust for this movement, for this philosophy. But amazingly, this person is a well-wisher of ISKCON. He loves the philosophy. He likes the devotees. He appreciates them. Srila Prabhupada gave us the essence without the nonsense. In fact, we didn't have to see the nonsense altogether. We didn't have to see all those things coming up. It was automatically manifested. Srila Prabhupada, in fact, so much of nonsense was there. In fact, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw that nonsense, had to see the nonsense with the degradation of Chaitanya's bhakti cult being taken as sahajism, as various forms of mental speculation, demeaning the essence of surrender. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed for the ray of Vishnu. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he went on smashing. He went on smashing all the nonsense. He did the hard labor. Gave us the essence. But the essence was just lying dormant in the ocean, like the nectar that was going to be churned. And Srila Prabhupada actually came with that nectar. And you know what would happen? There was envy, there was jealousy, there was all obstacles to distribute the nectar to the devotees. But then, typically, Prabhupada would fight all of these. Prabhupada would call them as rascals, fools and rascals. These were like the asuras. The asuras were the die-hard, materialistic scientists, mayavadis, and false gurus. Prabhupada saved us from all of that struggle. Lord Vishnu just had said, don't worry, just stay calm and just do as I say. Prabhupada simply gave us the essence without all of that tribulations. Therefore, sometimes without going through that experience of combating with the nonsense, we do not appreciate the essence. And this is exactly why Srila Sukadev Goswami is going to describe this Samudra Mantra in so detail, so that we know what is the nonsense and what is the essence. Now when Sri, that is Lakshmi Devi, she is the embodiment of fortune, she is the goddess of fortune, she has two forms. One of the form of Sri resides eternally in Vaikuntha, and the other resides as wealth. The wealth, of course, is not material. The wealth is the energy of Krishna. Depends how it is being engaged, becomes material or spiritual. So Prabhupada writes, unfortunately, the conditioned souls being placed into illusion by the external energy of the Lord want to fight with one another, and therefore peace is disturbed. The first prerequisite for peace is that all wealth presented by Sri, the goddess of fortune, be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone should give up his false proprietorship over worldly possessions and offer everything to Krishna. This is the teaching of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. There are so many peace talks, so many peace conferences, so many religions coming together for interfaith dialogue on peace. But none of them explain this peace formula. And the nature of illusory energy is so strong. Krishna Bhulya Jeev Bhogvan Chakare Nikateste Mayatare Japatiya Dhare. It is a question of a moment. Yesterday we had a wonderful presentation by His Grace Gaur Gopal Prabhu, and he was talking about how we have to live in this moment. And this is sometimes happens with devotees that, like he was explaining about chanting japa. And we are chanting, we have pledged that we are going to remember the name, we are going to hear the name very attentively. And the mind, within even a moment, is 1/11th or 1/11th of a second. Just that much diversion, and you find that the track of the mind has gone through a completely different meditation. And immediately you are reminded by the devotees, if you are chanting in the association of devotees, that you have gone off track. This is an important meditation to even understand how to use energy of Krishna in Krishna's service. Everything is meant for Krishna, and everything is energy of Krishna. Everything is meant to be engaged in the service of Krishna, including ourselves. So we are servant of Krishna, we are energy of Krishna, and we have to engage ourselves along with other energies in service of Krishna. So we are an important asset. Sometimes we think of engaging things, think of engaging people, think of engaging objects in the service of Krishna, but we lose track of our service attitude. In the course of Krishna consciousness, everyone will be given some kind of opportunity, or everyone has an opportunity to control, everyone has an opportunity to manage, everyone has an opportunity to guide. But then, initially that control is for service, but then the control becomes so strong. It is like driving a car. Those who drive vehicles, they know, as soon as they have that gear and the steering wheel, you know, and of course this is a four-wheeler, what to speak of the bikes. Why do these youngsters they drive the bike, you know, with such high speed, very very harshly, very very crude way? That is an exhibition of their control. They want to control, they want to exhibit their control. Because anything that is coming, that is controllable, gives the impression that we are the controller. Gives that consciousness that we can control. So sometimes a service is there in which there is a control, and the control is for service. In fact, that control itself is a service, not for. When we forget that control is service, then what happens? We use the service for controlling. Even within the realm of Krishna consciousness, the tendency to control enters into the realm of devotional service, and it's very difficult to sometimes discern what is service and what is controlling. It's a very thin gap. It's a momentary difference. It's a momentary exclusion. Once Narad Muni and Krishna were off near Dwarka, and they were all on a nice stroll. Krishna likes to stroll with his devotees. Once also Krishna was in stroll with Arjuna in the forest of Kandavaprast. Similarly, Narad Muni was on the stroll, and this time Dwarka was the camp. And then we find there's a run of Kutch is there. In fact, Krishna was just, they were just going about, and then they just seemed to enter the desert. Until long distance, there was no sign of any water body. And immediately, Krishna requested Narad, "Can you bring me a cup of water? I am thirsty." Narad Muni says, Yes, my lord. I am just coming with this cup of water." Narad Muni kept on searching for water very long in the desert. Went long. Was thinking, I'm going to bring this water for Krishna. Looking for Krishna in that way. That's how to look for Krishna everywhere. When we are connected with this service attitude, we are looking for Krishna. And we are not looking for service attitude, we are looking for Maya. There is no Krishna Maya, or there is no Maya Krishna. In fact, that Krishna turns into Maya, and that is Kama. So Narad Muni kept on walking, and he saw nothing. In fact, he traveled hard, he worked hard. And sometimes in devotional service, it happens that we think it is too long, it is too far-fetched, it is too extending, it is too demanding, it is too taxing, and I can't see anything happening. Narad Muni kept on praying to Krishna, "Please bring me close to a water body so I can serve you." So then it happened that Narad Muni went ahead, and suddenly he saw there was a river. And he was so tired himself, he thought I need energy to bring this cup of water back to Krishna. So I need to also, just for the sake of service, I need to rejuvenate myself. She saw some houses across the river bank, and she happened to cross the river. She said, I'll just come back and fetch this cup of water for Krishna. So he just got there, knocked the door. Immediately, door opened. Say, are you Narad Muni? Are you Narada? He said, yes, I am Narada. But how did you know? Such a vast tract of land, no person, no one to be seen around. And Narad Muni said that, and this person, this elderly gentleman said, you are prophesied that you would be coming. I heard a prophecy that Narada is coming soon here. And after that prophecy concluded that Narada will marry my daughter. Narada said, I can definitely understand that a prophecy must be true because this person does not know anyone here. I didn't know anyone out here. There must be some meaning to it. Maybe Krishna has some plan for me. So he went inside, has hospitality, entered the beautiful daughter of this elderly gentleman. And Narad Muni said, soon after the marriage, I'll bring that cup of water for Krishna. Narad Muni went ahead, got married, then said, let me have some children. Then I'll go and fetch water for Krishna. Anyways, he knows that I'm coming. He knows I'm there. I'm a devotee. No, I'm not forgotten Krishna. I'm still here. I'm still conscious. See, I still remember Krishna. Days passed. And days passed into months and months into years. Suddenly one day there was a flood. The river flooded. It was so gushing flood that all the houses were swept away. And Narad Muni was also swept away along with his family. As Narad Muni was being swept away by this current of this gushing river, he was completely in a calamitous condition. He had no idea what to do. And immediately, because of his previous training, he remembered Krishna. And he chanted loudly, Krishna, save me! This chanting was not like 16 rounds or 15 rounds. One round is really enthusiastic Krishna. Right? But this time was the loudest cry, the loudest call that one calls while chanting. You can imagine that. Especially in a very difficult condition. Narad Muni came to see that he was out of the river, out of the floods, out of the desert, back into the place where Krishna was. And Krishna asked him, so Narada, where is the cup of water? And Narad Muni forgot that he had gone to fetch a cup of water for Krishna. And this time he remembered all those difficulties which he had experienced were simply the torture, the torment of the illusory energy of Krishna under the initiative and the desire which Narad Muni made. Narad Muni realized this was a bad dream. But this was a really worse nightmare. And this time he realized, not this time again. I am going back this time, bringing water for Krishna. And just going to bring water, nothing else. Not going to get stuck up anywhere and not going to hear any prophecy. Not going to put any faith in any prophecy. Some astrological calculation may say that we will become this and we'll become stable and we'll have good wealth and we'll become, and you'll have nice, prosperous, Krishna conscious life. This time, Narad Muni went, again he saw the same river, the same hutment. The same gentleman opened the door. This time he said, "This, please give this cup of water. I'll soon come back after I fetch this cup of water for my dear friend." He went back, immediately rushed back and brought water for Krishna. And Krishna said, "Now Narada, do you see? How momentary, how flickering, how sensitive is our existence. We can actually change dimensions, we can change our existences within a moment. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is moment to moment. Every moment that we have to be Krishna conscious, it's a big responsibility. And therefore, Srila Shukdev Goswami is here explaining about Lakshmi Devi, who is herself the goddess of wealth, wanted by everyone, cherished by everyone. But it is the attitude, it is the consciousness of a devotee which helps to see the right perspective. Kuresh was one of the very prominent disciples of Sripad Ramanacharya. He was Kura Isha, Kura Gram. This Kura Gram was a very wealthy, very, very rich place owned by Kuresh. And Kuresh would give so much of charity, so much of wealth in for the people who are needy, for the people who are sick, for the people who were in poverty. And they, from when the day began, he would just keep giving charity. So many people would be there at his doors that this charity would end up way back in the night, and then they would go for a little rest, and when the doors would close, they would make a squeaking sound. And Lakshmi Devi, who was worshipped, Varada Lakshmi, Lakshmi Varada, in Kanchipuram, was worshipped by Kanchipurna. And Lakshmi Devi asked Kanchipurna, "What is that sound that I am hearing?" So the far distance away, Lakshmi Devi can hear everything. Right? So, maybe we should give charity. But we can hear about Kuresha. What was his intention of giving a charity? Lakshmi Devi said to Kanchipurna that, "What is this sound that I am hearing?" Kanchipurna said, "These are the doors of Kuresha's house which close at the end of the day when he has distributed sufficient charity just to take a little rest so that he can start his charity next day again." This is how Kuresh would live his life. He would do it daily. It was a daily practice. Kanchipurna was requested by Lakshmi Devi, "Please bring this Kuresha to me." Kuresha was, Kanchipurna came to Kuresha and said, "Lakshmi Devi wants to meet you." In fact, here Lakshmi Devi also is also here, and everyone wants to meet her. Everyone wants her, because just by opening Lakshmi Devi, you have such blessings, you have such opulence, that it's an intoxication. Everyone wanted Lakshmi Devi. Here Kuresh was requested by Lakshmi Devi, "Please, I want to see him. Please bring him to me." And Kuresha was, as soon as he heard, what could we imagine from his response? What could we imagine? What kind of response? "Pardon? I want to meet her also. I've been waiting for such a long time. I thought that she would say such a thing, that I wanted to meet her." And then Kuresha said, "Oh, Lakshmi Devi wants to meet me? But how abominable I am. How fallen I am. I am not qualified to present myself before Lakshmi Devi." He said, "I will renounce everything because I am not so qualified. I have to take shelter of Yatiraj Sripad Ramacharya, and by serving this great soul, I will become purified, and I do not want to dishonor the request of Lakshmi Devi. Therefore, I will purify myself so that I am qualified to have an audience with Lakshmi Devi." We find these radical attitudes of devotees, and we find that this is far out. What could have been done? He could have saved some money for his future. He could have given some to his sons, and would have practiced Krishna consciousness all the way long. Very simply. He would have planned for his life. He did not plan anything. Spontaneously he decided to give up all his wealth and to simply depend on Krishna. And therefore Krishna consciousness cannot be just mechanized. The process of sadhana bhakti is having a structure, is having some progression. But that progression does not come by a mechanical following of that sadhana bhakti. There has to be intense desire. There has to be desire for purification, desire for humility, and desire to serve in that consciousness. Srila Prabhupada in his life would be working so hard, day in and day out, and he would simply desire, sitting, writing the Srimad Bhagavatam. This Srimad Bhagavatam Parabharsa is nothing but the desire of Srila Prabhupada penning in these words and bouncing back into us. So much so that we absorb these vibrations from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Each of the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam that Srila Prabhupada has penned for us has come with the intense greed to deliver all of us out of this material existence. Therefore, Srila Sukadeva Goswami is also narrating this journey of the milk ocean. He is sitting with Parikshit Maharaj, but is going out in those Karana Sagar, is transforming Parikshit Maharaj into that realm. He is making Parikshit Maharaj aware, just at the time of death. When the time of death approaches, the living entity is given journey to the all heavenly planets to still test whether is there any hankering for any small desire. So Parikshit Maharaj is going to be given all of that before he travels to this Golok Vrindavan. He is given the highest journey from all the heavenly planets. He is given the whole experience of Krishna consciousness, and that is similarly given by Srila Prabhupada to all of us. And therefore here we find Lakshmi Devi is being given so many gifts by Brahma. Lord Brahma is also giving the gifts, that lotus flower. Yes, Lord Brahma supplies the lotus flower. In fact, this lotus is simply but indication of Krishna's beauty. Krishna's eyes are lotus-like. Krishna's face is lotus-like. Krishna's feet is lotus-like. And therefore, Lakshmi Devi is given all of these supplements by all the demigods. Goddess of learning Saraswati supplies the necklace. Inhabitants of Nagaloka supplies earrings. In fact, Lakshmi Devi is looking for a shelter. She is looking for a perfect shelter. Therefore, she is holding one lotus flower in her hand and one garland to be garlanded on the most suitable personality. In relationships with this, in the association of devotees also, we find that there are so many devotees who encourage us, giving so many gifts of encouraging words, encouraging gestures. They all are worthy of our respect. Even if you don't find devotees coming out and saying you something, just by the presence that they are around us, that's a benediction from them. Imagine if we would be just alone practicing Krishna consciousness without, there are devotees who stay out in the association, without the association of devotees. It's so difficult. The benediction of the association of devotees is only realized when it is from the exclusion from that association. And while we are actually in the association of devotees, we must extremely valuable all these gifts. These are small gifts, but these are gifts simply to encourage us to find our right shelter. Lakshmi Devi is holding she is not holding the garland with two hands. She is having one lotus flower. Because it is said that the beauty of Lakshmi Devi is so enchanting that instead of the bees humming for the lotus flower, they are humming along the face of Lakshmi Devi. The beauty of Lakshmi Devi is simply because she is 100% engaged in exclusive service of Lord Narayan. All beauty is coming, all opulence is coming from that surrender, from that shelter. In fact, Srila Prabhupada was once in Calcutta, and Prabhupada said, that side of Calcutta is like a fire. It's a forest fire. And this side, it is refreshing, cooling showers. At the same time, Prabhupada was there, and then there were some, because Sri Sri Radha Govind was decorated so beautifully with very beautiful garlands, a lot of flowers were decorated, a lot of Mallika flowers. So much so that there were bees humming, coming in the altar and then leaving. And Prabhupada saw that, and Prabhupada said, bees humming near the deities, that means the deities are pleased. So wonderful. Prabhupada gave us these deities, the worship of the deities, the service attitude to worship the deities. In fact, what is happening is simply this, that Prabhupada is here and the deities Radha Gopinath are there, and we are somehow caught up in middle. And we hope to remain caught up in this place. And that's why we find here that similarly, this shelter which is asked for by Lakshmi Devi is looking for a suitable husband. Therefore, we find that here and more, it is an attempt to find a supreme controller, Ishvara. Everyone may be accepted as an Ishvara controller, but still such controllers are controlled by others. Someone had controlled his mind and senses, but he lost control of anger. He could not control his anger. Someone was scrutinizing, analysis was controlled. He was a very knowledgeable person, but he could not control his material desires. And therefore, Prabhupada is saying that Krishna is never controlled by anyone, for he is a controller of everyone. Lakshmi Devi's search for shelter to surrender is very significant here. She is carefully observing, and she is proclaiming faults in everyone. In fact, she also proclaims fault in all the demigods that are there. And in fact, Ajita, Vishnu, who is her master, she also finds the fault in her master. But this is a wonderful fault. The fault is that Lord Vishnu is so self-satisfied that he does not care for Lakshmi Devi. That is his Ajita's fault. So she finds that fault, which is glorification of Lord Vishnu, because he is Atmaram, he is self-satisfied. Therefore, Krishna never requires anything from us. Krishna does not expect, Krishna does not like something or dislike something. Krishna is full in himself. Whatever we give to Krishna is our benefit only. And therefore, sometimes when we execute our Krishna consciousness, we feel that we are pleasing Krishna by our service. Krishna is the least. There are so many Lakshmis who are serving. If Ajita Vishnu does not care for one Lakshmi, but in the spiritual world, there are so many Lakshmis who are serving Krishna, then where is our position? Where is the hope for us? Will Krishna ever look at us? Will Krishna ever smile at us? Will Krishna ever glance at us? But Krishna is glancing at each one of us, because if we are connected with a very dear servant of Krishna, our qualification, Prabhupada said, is that we are simply connected to him. Without Prabhupada's mercy, without Prabhupada's connection, we would be lost in this Samudra Manthan, not knowing what to take, what to reject, what to share, what to divide, what to do with that. But all the time, this Bhaktivedanta purports are nothing but nectar which has been churned out of this by Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of the previous acharyas who have actually kept churning the nectar. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami, we saw, we had celebrated yesterday, Srila Jiva Goswami, disciples, and Srila Jiva Goswami was enunciated, this is the wealth. Srila Rupa Goswami was challenged by that pundit, Rup Kaviraj, and he was challenged that you just submit to me and you just say that I've defeated you. And Rupa Goswami just didn't want to deal with all this nonsense, this false prestige, this pride, this social status, the status quo maintaining in society. What would devotees think if devotee has signed for and this person has defeated? What will the whole parampara do? He was least concerned about anything external, because the flow of this external influences keep coming like waves, one after another, attractions, distractions, diversions. And after some time we feel, no, I must submit to it now. It is too much. I can't just handle it. Jiva Goswami could not handle that. Because how Rupa Goswami was kind of defeated just because of force, and Rupa Goswami did not want to defend himself. So Jiva Goswami challenged him. And we find that Jiva Goswami challenged him and defeated him in service of his spiritual master and his guru. But Rupa Goswami called Jiva Goswami and banished him from Vrindavan, saying that there is no place for anyone who has any tinge of pride in his heart. And therefore Jiva Goswami took upon that order very, very humbly, and he lived in a cave without expecting ever that return, that call from Rupa Goswami, unless Sanatana Goswami made a request to Srila Rupa Goswami to call in back Jiva Goswami. The wealth of humility, the wealth of selfless service, the wealth of dedication, commitment, loyalty, complete shelter, these are the jewels, these are the objects that will come out of the Samudra Manthan. And these are that we are looking for. By taking that nectar of these qualities, will one be able to approach, will be able to take shelter of the Supreme Husband, of the Supreme Goddess of Fortune. And therefore Hara is the Supreme Goddess of Fortune. What wealth is bestowed that we are able to actually approach the essence of all incarnations, Lord Shri Krishna. Once Chistukanand Prabhu asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, you say that we are all servants of Krishna, Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world, but you seem to have connection with Radha and Krishna, but there are other forms like Lakshmi Narayan in the spiritual world. So we all have our swarupas. We all have our swarup. So ultimately, Krishna consciousness process is just of uncovering that swarup. So do you say that what will happen to us after we uncover our anarthas is that we'll go back to our original constitution? Prabhupada said, yes. Prabhupada said, but Chistukana Prabhu said that there is Lakshmi Narayan also in the spirit, in the Vaikuntha planets. Prabhupada said, yes. And the devotees assume that we all have our eternal swarup in the spiritual world. Maybe some of us may be serving Lakshmi Narayan. Right? But we are given a chance to serve Radha Krishna now. To serve, maybe if we end up, some devotees would say, Lakshmi Narayan, I want Radha Krishna. I don't like Lord Ram. Therefore, Murari Gupta was devotee of Lord Ram, and when it was Hanuman, and when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that he is a devotee of Lord Ram and he could not bear suppression from the name of Lord Ram, he glorified Murari Gupta. Now, Murari Gupta is an eternal associate of the Supreme Lord, but in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Just as Murari Gupta has been included in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, extolling the highest nectar of Krishna Prem, love of Srimati Radharani. He was allowed entrance, he was embraced, he was in the midst, in the thick and thin of that. But he was surrendered to Lord Ram. Who knows? We may be serving Radha Krishna or not. But right now, Srila Prabhupada has given Radha Krishna seva in this life. Who can be more merciful and beneficial? A beneficiary. Therefore, we owe all our wealth. First of all, we to discern the nonsense from the essence. To live by the essence. And to consciously give up that nonsense is to be the constant effort of a sadhaka that Lakshmi Devi is showing us. She's going to see everything, she's going to see everyone, eager to see, eager to meet her, but she says no. Say no when you want to say no. That is devotional service. Accepting that is favorable is very easy, but rejecting that is unfavorable is difficult. And therefore, with the same enthusiasm that we accept things that are favorable for devotional service, to that degree, we reject unfavorable things that are not favorable for devotional service is surrender, is the first two symptoms of surrender. Would not have been mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami that rejecting things which are not unfavorable, just do the positive and ultimately negative will come out. But no, the negative is going to come out, but there has to be a systematic way of handling the negative. Lord Shiva was called in to handle the negativity. Therefore, as this anatta has come, it will become more difficult. Krishna consciousness is like climbing a mountain. There is an initial enthusiasm to climb the peak. And there is energy in the initial stages. But as we climb that rock, it becomes arduous, strenuous, tiring, and you can't see the peak out there. And you start thinking, it's easy to just glide down that rope than to just struggle to go up. Maybe I'll start next life. This life is a compromise, and this compromise has to continue because there are so many adverse situations that are coming in front of me and I can't handle that. But this is the attitude of determination. Prabhupada would often emphasize this determination. Once Prabhupada was saying that, Prabhupada, we cannot follow these principles very strictly. What to do if some devotee fails? Prabhupada said that, and he cannot do it. Prabhupada said, then he must be determined to do it. But then devotee asked, what if he has no determination? Prabhupada said, then he's an animal. This is like striking. Prabhupada would say just one word. That will stay the whole story altogether. For lifetimes. For millennia. Therefore, everything that is given by Srila Prabhupada is of consequence. Nothing is of least or anything is, nothing is in the category of least insignificance. Everything is so important within the realm of devotional service. Every limb of devotional service is very important. And we have to practice as Prabhupada has mentioned in this Bhagavatam purports. There is no way to translate or to interpret this purport for practical application. This is practical application. And therefore sometimes Prabhupada says that many statements in the Srimad Bhagavatam, some devotees didn't develop that faith. That is something which is lacking from us. But then, if we cling on, and what is required? Some person up there who is still climbing. And you may think, yes, he is a role model for me, he is climbing. But you do not, you also see that you are also a role model for someone who is climbing from below. You have to give encouragement and you have to take encouragement. Both are devotional service. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, become a preacher of Krishna consciousness. Automatically, you will see someone is taking encouragement from you and then you cannot come back down. That is devotional pressure. That's not a social pressure, that's a devotional pressure. So we put ourselves into difficulty, as Shyam Sundar Prabhu said, was asked once, what is the single most factor that is requirement for advancing in Krishna consciousness? He said, risk. R-I-S-K. Risk. That was all that he said. He said, we just did risking. Our lives, our opportunities, our everything. We did not even see back what's going to happen. We just risk. This life is for Krishna. Just do it. Just go ahead. And by risking, what do? We put ourselves voluntarily into great calamity. This is something similar to Kunti Maharani's prayer. Vipadasantu tashashva tatra tatra jagat guru. We put ourselves in difficulty by taking risk for serving the mission of Srila Prabhupada so that Krishna is ready to save us from that calamity. That is the reciprocation for advancement in Krishna consciousness. Jare dekho tare kaho Krishna upadesh. Very difficult to fall in maya if we are very careful. But then this is what will happen. Things will start coming your way, though you don't want them to come. But then the nectar is that what we are looking for. And we are looking for the shelter in the service, in the surrender, becoming humbler in the blade of grass. Tinadapi sunichana taro rivasaishana. Amanina manadena kirtanya sadahari. This will keep us climbing up automatically. So therefore, we are very grateful that we have been given this opportunity to serve Shri Shri Radha Gopinath. Who would ever think in the wildest of dreams that we would be serving them personally by actually hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, lips of Shukadeva Goswami and from the pen of Srila Prabhupada. It's personal. It's very intimate. It is direct. It is essential. And if we do simply read Srimad Bhagavatam and narrate Srimad Bhagavatam and describe Srimad Bhagavatam, is very easy. It's not that difficult. Therefore, this is wonderful. And sorry if I have spoken something beyond my limits of realization. Just on the order of Govind Prabhu that I'm speaking something. So, please forgive if anything. Is there any questions or comments? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.